Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a dear and valued friend. Biggs Day!
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears have a big one, buddy. It looks like the Green Bay Packers have bowed out of the picture. They are no longer a team to fear. There's a bunch of losers up there, and quarterback's no damn good. Wait a minute. No, hold on a second. But it's Bears, Vikings, and this is the one for the division, and this will decide pretty much NFC Championship game / Super Bowl participants. Could it be the Bears?
Yeah, this is a huge game. You look at what the Bears have Sunday night, and then the Week 17 rematch with Minnesota up in Minneapolis, and you think, boy, these two games could go a long way toward determining the division champion, and obviously the winner of the division is going to get at least one home playoff game. So Sunday night's winner moves into first place. If it's the Bears, they've got a pretty nice lead then at that point. If it's Minnesota, the Bears have some catching up to do, but this is the start of a pretty tough stretch for the Vikings. They will host Green Bay next week, and then they've got road games at New England and at Seattle. So as far as four-game stretches go, that's pretty tricky.
Brad, I think the people are used to the idea now the Bears are one of the surprise teams in the league. But I think when you look at the Vikings coming in here 5-3-1, there's just as much reason to be surprised. They're not better. Why aren't they better?
Well, they hit a rough patch early in the season. And what was, I think, most alarming about that, number one, was a loss to the Buffalo Bills. That was a real stunner. And I know during their bye week, I think Rick Spielman, the GM, was asked about it. And he basically was like, had no answer for it. You know, he was answering a bunch of questions, you know, trying to explain some things. And, you know, they are still confounded as to what happened in that game because Buffalo blew them out. It was, I think, 27-6. So you had that loss early in the season, and then you also had them giving up a bunch of points. I want to say the first four games of the season, they were giving up about 27.5, 28 points a game. And coming off that brutal NFC title game loss to the Eagles a year ago, where the Eagles put 37 or 38 points on them in that game, people started to wonder, have opponents figured out this defense? Not that the players were all of a sudden no good, but you know, have they got a bead on what Mike Zimmer is doing? Do people know when the blitz is coming? So I think there were a lot of questions. I think the Vikings have sort of mixed up what they've been doing. They're maybe pressuring their defensive backs more than their linebackers, and they used to bring the linebackers a whole lot. So maybe some self-scouting done by Minnesota, and the defense is obviously performed better lately. And in a couple categories, they're fantastic. I mean, the Vikings are number one in third down defense by a mile. They're allowing opponents, it's like 25.7%. The next closest is above 33%. So there's a big gap there. And then I want to say they're number two in red zone defense. So those are two pretty key categories. And for whatever struggles they had early in the year on defense, they seem to have shored up.
Mike Zimmer is another Chicago guy made good. We haven't talked enough about his connections. Lockport High School, went to, I think, ISU, didn't he? the Vikings pretty much only will hire head coaches from Chicago. So that's something to remember when they come to town. But I like Mike Zimmer. I think he's a really hard-nosed, tough football coach. I think it's really interesting, Brad. John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator, was the quarterback coach in Philadelphia, and a lot of people, well, he was one of the guys up for the Bears job or talked about with the Bears job, and a lot of people believe that he's headed to a head coaching job and might not be long in Minnesota, another one of those kind of young, offensive-minded guys. It's interesting to look at the coaching combination because we talk about the similarities of the teams, but with Vic Fangio and Matt Nagy and with Zimmer and DeFilippo, you've got kind of inverted football staffs as well.
Yeah. I mean, there are a ton of similarities, and obviously they're hoping to sort of, they're just looking for a guy to get them two steps beyond where they finished a year ago.
Right.
You know, and the first step would be reaching the Super Bowl, and the second step would be winning the Super Bowl. And so if DeFilippo's a short timer, but they can accomplish that goal, they're all for that. They'll figure out what they're going to do after DeFilippo gets a head coaching position. So we'll have to see what's in store for him moving forward. But there's been an adjustment period for the offensive players. Obviously, new quarterback Kirk Cousins. Some of those guys have to learn a new system. Running back Dalvin Cook has basically been sidelined since week two with a hamstring injury. He's played a little bit, and he did appear for the first time in a long time in their game before their bye, and he busted off a 70-yard run against the Detroit Lions. So the running back appears to finally be healthy, and he's a more dynamic player than Latavius Murray, the guy who's been carrying the load while Cook was sidelined.
This segment with Brad Biggs brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. Brad, okay, health-wise, Anthony Barr, the linebacker for the Vikings, returned to practice yesterday on a limited basis. He's missed the last two games. I think he's an impact guy. For the Bears, Deion Sims still in concussion protocol. Looks like he missed. What's up with Adam Shaheen, and do you expect him to be in the mix? And if they do bring him back, they'd have to make a roster move.
Well, if the Bears are going to make a roster move with Adam Shaheen, my guess is they would do it at 3 o'clock Saturday. That would be the deadline to make a change with your 53-man roster in order to have him play this week. You wait until the very end because the Vikings could then panic and have no idea what to do with Shaheen joining the roster. You know, they want to evaluate him in practice this week, see if he's going to be ready, but they would have to clear a roster spot on the 53 to activate him. I think there's one important thing to consider with Adam Shaheen and the possibility of his return for this season. If it's going to happen, I think it happens Saturday. They have a three-week window with which to evaluate him on the practice field. This is week two, and next week in week three, there's basically not a practice before the Thanksgiving Day game at Detroit. More or less, my guess is they go through a walkthrough as they prepare for that Lions game. So if you need to evaluate Shaheen physically on where the foot is at and if he's ready, that decision ought to be made this week because there's just not anything to really put him through. Next week, I suppose you could have him, go out there and run on Tuesday if he doesn't play this Sunday. But I would expect the decision to be made on his status for this season this week.
Any sense of which direction they're leaning?
I think, he's still out there practicing. If this thing went the wrong direction, maybe they would shut him down. I don't think Adam Shaheen is going to be quite the impact guy that a lot of the people who submit questions to the mailbag, I tend to think. He would give him another option. He would give him someone that could potentially help a little bit in terms of run blocking. Yeah, he's got some ability to catch the ball as well. One of the things I want to see from him, and I always thought that, when he caught the ball, he went to the ground too quickly. So if he can catch the ball and do a better job of keeping his feet, obviously, the more you go to the ground, the more chance there is for injury. But, you know, a young guy that they would like to, you know, he's not, let's not call him Gronk.
I was making a joke.
But
he was known as Baby Gronk. That's what we were told.
Well, but I'll give him credit. I don't think he ever called himself Baby Gronk. So
he did privately.
Privately. Okay. So we'll see where that's at, because it would be nice to get him out there and see what kind of gains he's made from the end of year one. Remember, he went down with an injury after that Cincinnati game in December a year ago, just when he was starting to play a little bit more with Zach Miller out, and you were starting to see some production from him.
We've talked about Kyle Long and the replacement and the issues they've had of getting that locked down. This is, if this game comes down to offensive line play, Brad, I would say the Bears still have an advantage, because Minnesota, not known for that offensive line.
No, the Vikings have, I think, used five different starting combinations up front. They've started to get a little bit more health in that area themselves, but that was a question mark for them heading into the season, and obviously they were dealt a terrible setback with the death of the O-line coach Tony Sperano right before they were to report to training camp, and so that forces them to scramble. They've got a new offensive coordinator. Just a difficult thing to deal with, because Sperano was obviously highly regarded for his, acumen as a line coach. And their left tackle, Riley Reiff, had missed some time with a foot injury. He's back now. They've got a rookie, O'Neal, out of Pitt at right tackle. Elfline, the center, who had a pretty nice rookie season, missed some time at the beginning of the year, but he's in place now. Yeah, the Bears' front seven could hold an upper hand over that Minnesota offensive line.
All right, Brad, Molly and I both picked the Bears because we're just unabashed, transparent homers. Which way you lean on Sunday night?
Wow. that's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I got to that point in my Thursday yesterday where I had to make the pick.
Yeah, me too.
And I went back and forth for a while. This wasn't this team's going to win. Let me think of a score and sort of explain my thinking. I went back and forth and flipped and flopped. But I ended up going with the Bears for the reason that we just talked about.
Homerism?
Well, no, that's why you guys went with the Bears. I went with the Bears because I think their front seven has an opportunity to really have an impact in this game against that Minnesota offensive line. So I picked the Bears 31-24. You've got a couple good defenses, but I think we could see some big plays both ways. It could be really exciting. I mean, this could be the kind of game that has NBC tickled in terms of a really good game in prime time on Sunday night.
All right, Big Z, thank you, pal.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
See you Sunday.
Good talking to you. That's our guy, Brad Biggs. He's the football man of the Chicago Tribune, and your tongue was firmly in cheek when you accused me of homerism.
Yes.
If you want to volunteer for it, that's not you.
When I accused us of homerism, tongue in cheek.
How can you include me?
Well, why not? You know, well, part of the team.
You're
part of the home team.
You wound me with that sort of thing.
All right. Sorry.
It's okay. I'll be going to get over it. I'll get over it during the break. We're going to take a quick time out. What about... Does the battle of coaches interest you? Does that, you know, when we talk about the Bears having a lot more sort of creativity among their coaching staff, does that interest you? Is that what one of the big stories of this season has been? 312-644-6767. And do they have to win that battle this week if they're going to win the game? Maybe every week. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hey, Score fans, take undefeated fight.
There's an energy right now with us that I think is normal in our situation. I like to put things out there for our guys and make sure that they understand where we're at. You understand, okay, now this is the situation we put ourselves in. Now, how do we respond to it? What do we do? And so the other stuff of being flexed here or there or having a game moved, that's down the road. We'll worry about that later.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. He's not talking about the game being flexed this week. He's talking about the 85-hour delay then before the next game.
Yeah.
The fact that the Thursday morning game comes in such close proximity to the Sunday night game. That's what he's saying. We'll worry about that later. We'll worry about the repercussions from the flexing of the game later.
And flexing the Bears in December against the Rams is a reality, too. And I think what the overall theme is that this happens when you have success. Teams are going to end up on national television, and NBC is going to want to come to town, which I think is interesting. And you talked about before we went to break, you know, okay, so does a coaching matchup interest you as a fan? I don't know if that does, but what did make me curious overall, like, so you're NBC, you're flexing the Bears, you're putting them in prime time for a reason. They're 6-3. They're interesting. What makes them most interesting? Because it's a TV show now, Mully. So
yes,
you look at it, we talk 4 hours a day, 5 days a week about the Bears, and we break them down, and we know what's wrong with their right guard, and we know what's wrong with their backup nickelback and all those things. But when it's a TV show, you go for themes. And the overarching theme Sunday night, when somebody, casual TV fan, tunes in, what is it for the Bears? What is the Sunday night lead for the Bears, it's the story of this season?
It's arrival. It's, you know, are you here to stay? Are you making your move? If the Bears lead the division, but it doesn't feel that way. And it doesn't look that way from the outside. It seems like more of a well, yeah, they're ahead, but that's sort of a clerical error that's going to be straightened out as they play their division. So this is your opportunity to have a winning record in your division. This is your opportunity to take the NFC North by the throat.
Okay. And along those same lines, I don't disagree with that necessarily, but I think that...
But that's the biggest part of it, David, isn't it?
Part of it is this. The biggest part of it to me is this. The Bears are back.
Yes.
The Bears are back. And the Bears, from an NFL perspective, being back means something because the league is better when the Bears are relevant.
Good. Exactly.
And when the Bears are playing in a way that is reflective of their tradition and representing, you know, the defensive mentality and the monsters
Khalil
of the
Mack
midway.
Is the latest.
That is good for the league. That is embraceable. Those are ratings.
Yes.
That's interest. That's relevance.
But let me ask you something. If they don't win this game, if they somehow embarrass themselves in this game, is there clarity to whether or not the Bears are back? I understand what you're saying is that being the storyline, but they need to announce themselves. They need to have a performance, and all they need is a win. But they need to beat a winning team. They need to prove that they belong at the top of the division. This is a very big game I think they'll be sky high for it. And my concern would be, how do they bounce back on Thursday? I think you could see the best of the Bears right in this game and maybe flat on Thursday.
And that would be okay. And that would be okay. Because what you just said brings us back to the coaching thing. That's exactly what Matt Nagy has to say to his team before they go out there. Or exactly whether it's before they go out there or the Saturday night before their final team meeting. Whatever it is, the message, that is the message, is that here we are. This is our opportunity to make a statement. They want to see what we're all about. They are here to tell us, to show America our team. We're good enough to be here. This is a privilege. Now show them why. Show them why they came.
Okay, so you're in your pre-show meetings, right? And they take place over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The broadcast team will get to sit down and they'll get to talk to the coach and the key players and all that stuff and get their broadcast ready, because as you say, it's a TV show. Are you as you put together your plan for game coverage and for things you're going to talk about on Sunday Night Football, what other storylines are you looking for here? And I don't care what anybody thinks. There's not a chance you don't mention Cody Parkey's troubles, the four times the ball bounces off the upright, the fact that a couple of helicopters went to his practice. That is going to...
You have three themes here.
And the coach might not like that. Really? Are we going to go there again? Well, yes, we're going to, because of the clanking, and that's going to be part of the broadcast. There's no way around it.
You have three things that, to me, are relevant here in terms of storylines. You've got the arrival of Khalil Mack, right? That changed the season in the context for the Bears. You've got the emergence of your quarterback as a potential franchise quarterback. And you have the oddity of a kicker who hit the upright four times the last time he was on this field. The one he's going to be kicking on Sunday night. That's unavoidable as a storyline.
Mac, Mitch, and
Cody.
Cody.
That's
one
it.
Of these things is not like the other. One of the storylines doesn't belong. 312-644-6767. LaGrange Bob is in LaGrange. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing? I agree with Dan Hampton about Khalil Mack, the best ball player in 30 years.
I agree, too. Yep.
In the conversation.
Yeah.
Now, will you guys tell me what's going to happen in the game? Mm-hmm. They haven't played the game yet. If they lose or don't lose.
No, they've been practicing all week. Yeah. They've been rehearsing, all week.
But it's two good teams. So, you know, you can't say you got beat by Minnesota, so you're not – good. I mean, it could be a good game. You got to wait and see what happens, man.
But you got to beat the good teams, Bob.
Yeah,
to get
Bob.
Respect.
We're aware of what's at stake, and they, you know, they've played one winning team thus far this year. Maybe the Packers could have been that team, but they lost.
It's a big moment, Bob. Embrace it.
Yeah, enjoy yourself.
Enjoy it.
John's in Elgin. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Great show. Very entertaining.
Bless you.
Missed you this past Friday, Molly. Welcome back. Hey, listen. I got two questions. First, Cousins, for the life of me, I've seen this guy play, but I just can't seem to say that he's a franchise quarterback.
Oh,
you know, like you guys have been talking about how Trubisky needs that big game where he can, you know, drive when the game's on the line, he can go and score.
Yes.
I mean, do you see Cousins doing that? I mean, what do you think about him?
John. Thanks, John. John, he's completing 71% of his passes. His passer rating is 102.2.
You know what, though?
This is a bona fide NFL quarterback.
And no one's saying that he's not a bona fide quarterback. I think maybe, John, what you're missing and what you know, he's not as good as you thought he was going to be. This is a guy that has joined a new team. This is a guy that is not playing with the best offensive line. This is a guy that has a different system, is a different – there's a lot of different things around him. That's not as easy a transition. And not everyone's just going to be Jay Cutler. See what you did there.
Yeah, you just ruined it there.
Yeah, that's Kevin right. Zipak is on updates today, and he's also
what's up?
Very close to our hearts.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Kevbo, how's life, buddy? You got anything new going on? Have you done any work recently that maybe people should know about? I don't know. A podcast of some sort.
Well, yeah, you know, the Screamers and Howlers podcast, we record it every Thursday. You can check out the new edition.
I retweeted
on Twitter
it.
At Screamer Howler. Thank you very much. David Hall, remember, retweets our endorsements.
So important.
David was actually, he's the only interviewee we've had, right? We had David on.
That's really nice.
He's a friend of the program.
Thank you.
One and only guest.
People making a lot of the Bears and how they haven't played anybody this year and their schedule's been pretty weak. You know, the Vikings haven't beaten a team over 500 this year either.
This is a big game for both teams.
Something has to give Sunday night.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And you know what that means. It's time to bring in our guy. He's Joe Fortenbaugh. 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area. And, of course, the Sharp 600 podcast. Joe!
Morning, Joe.
Morning, buddy.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'd like to know one thing very quickly. How good does it feel when you live in Chicago to wake up on a Friday morning knowing that the Packers have already lost?
A lot of people feeling very good about that one, Joe, feeling like there's sort of a changing of the guard going on in the division.
Yeah, a new feeling. I feel pity for the Packers.
Well, I'll tell you what. Aaron Rodgers, you really don't need to say much about him because whether you like him or you don't, we all have the same opinion of him from a talent perspective. But good God, the coaching and some of the supporting cast. How are you not feeding Aaron Jones the ball more? And at the end of the game, this is the big debate today. 4th and 2, 4 minutes to go. They decide to punt. Is that the hill you want to die on if you're Mike McCarthy?
You got to go for it.
Exactly. If you're going to die on a hill, do you want to die on the hill with your defense? Or would you rather have Aaron Rodgers take you out? If Rodgers can't get it done on 4th and 2, no one's going to blame you for that decision. That's what you need to realize. You want the ball in the hands of the best player at the most crucial of moments. And McCarthy just doesn't seem to get that. So it's great news for the Bears, who have a big week, big game this week against Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, it was a Ty Montgomery moment. When you don't give Rodgers the ball, then you get fired. You get cut.
Yeah, and I got to tell you guys have got to be feeling pretty good. I don't have the Bears-Vikings game in the picks this week, but I will tell you this. It's interesting to see the spread sitting at 2.5. As we've talked about before, 3 points is the most key number in NFL betting. More games end with a differential of 3 than any other spread. 24-21, 31-28, 17-14. You get where I'm going. About 11 or 12% of the games out there land on 3. So you always want to be on the right side of it. But you can learn a lot from the sharp bookmakers when they have a game around 3 where they set it. A lot of people have 3 out there. The Westgate's one of the sharper books. They're putting 2.5 out there. It makes me feel that they're baiting you into betting the Bears a little bit this week because they like the Vikings. Now, the Vikings, they're rested. Obviously, we know they're a pretty good football team. I think the consensus right now, and this is something that Trubisky and Nagy and the rest of the Bears are going to have to overcome, the consensus on the Bears is that while they're winning, who are they doing it against? And once they get that big marquee win against a quality opponent up there, I think you're going to have everyone else buying in. But they have been playing very well. This should be a very loud game at Soldier Field. Very excited here in the Bay Area to see in a few weeks Khalil Mack getting flexed in the John Gruden spot. That's going over very well. So, you know, we're all just having great times here tracking the Bears this season.
All right, Joe, as much as we'd like to talk to you about Draymond Green, what are your college picks this week?
All right, so let's get into that. We're going to start with probably a game I'm looking at from an upset perspective. Now, I don't expect them to win this game, but I'm going to take Liberty plus 28.5 against Auburn. This is what I'm calling look-ahead weekend. All these teams, we have very few marquee matchups. Notre Dame-Syracuse is a good one, but for the most part, we have very few marquee matchups. All the big teams are going to be looking ahead to next week. For example, I'm not playing this game, but Urban Meyer, the week before playing Michigan, is 1-5 against the spread. A lot of people might like Maryland in that spot, especially if you can get 14.5 or higher. 5 straight years, Meyer has not covered the spread leading into Michigan. Same thing's true with Jim Harbaugh. He's 1-3, I believe. No, actually 3 seasons. Harbaugh plays to the under the week before Michigan. They don't show a lot offensively. They just want to survive these games. So when we look at Liberty plus 28.5 against Auburn, Auburn's had an up and down season. They've got Alabama next week. Gus Malzahn would like nothing more than to find a way to salvage this wreck by beating the Crimson Tide and trying to ruin their near-perfect season. So when it comes to Liberty, don't show anything flashy. Try to avoid injuries. Get the hell out of there with the win. 28 in the hook's a good number here. Malzahn, in the week before playing Alabama, 1-3 against the spread. Now, he's been there one more year than that, but he had a bye the 1 year going into Alabama, so I'm not counting that. 1-3 against the spread the week before playing Bama. So we're going to take Liberty plus 28.5. Syracuse plus 10.5 against Notre Dame. I've gone back and forth on this. I know some guys in Vegas who like Notre Dame. They think this is a bad matchup for Syracuse. I've watched a lot of Syracuse this year. We used to bet Dino Babers all the time when he was at his previous stint in the MAC, for all the guys out there who like betting MACtion. He's got this team playing competitive football. They were right there with Clemson in a total letdown spot the next week against Pittsburgh. They suffered their other loss, but they were in that game as well. They're well coached. They've got a great, experienced senior quarterback in Eric Dungy who can make a lot of plays. Defensively is going to be the key. I don't know. Brian Kelly might shred these guys. You might want to look to the over, but I'm going to take the 10.5 with Syracuse in this game. I think it's a lot of points for a game that should be relatively close. Game number 3, I mentioned it earlier, Michigan and Indiana. I'm going to go under 53.5. I think Michigan's going to want to pound the ball between the tackles, play defense, and not put anything on tape for Ohio State. The last 4 weeks, Michigan's defense has held the opposition to an average of just 8.5 points per game. Might be the best defense in the country, certainly the best defense in the Big Ten. Offensively, they don't score a whole lot. Like I said, Harbaugh the week before playing Ohio State, his Michigan team and the opponent are averaging a combined total of just 36 points per game. You really don't get a lot of scoring this week. I'm going to go under 53.5 Michigan-Indiana. Now, I'm not sure if this next one's going to be played because of the wildfires out here, but Cal's going to be hosting Stanford. I can tell you firsthand, the air quality is miserable. I haven't had my kid outside in more than a week. Wow. It's everyone's wearing masks or they're staying inside. It's like a ghost town, and these fires are over 200 miles away. So they might cancel this game, but if they don't, take the 2 points with Cal. second best defense in the Pac-12. Justin Wilcox has got them playing outstanding D. They have not won this series. They have not won a game in this series since 2009. They are due. The last 4 weeks, they held Oregon State to 7, Washington to 10, Washington State to 19, and USC to 14. Stanford's a bit vanilla this year. They're 5-11 against the spread over their last 16, following a point spread cover, which tells me they really can't string them together. So I'm going to take the two with Cal. I think they win the game outright. And then the final game, take the field goal with Iowa State at Texas. Now, we all know I'm a big Tom Herman fan, but this season I'm an even bigger fan of Iowa State. These guys can do it everywhere, man. They look, you want to get into a shootout with Iowa State? They'll oblige. You want to get down in the mud and play a physical, low-scoring game? They'll oblige. They're going to be without running back David Montgomery for the first half, but they've had that situation play out before, and they found a way to make it work. They've covered the number in 5 of their last 6. They're 9-1-1 against the spread over their last 11 road dates. Texas has dropped 2 of 3, and they're a sloppy football team. You cannot get sloppy against Iowa State, so we're going to take the 3 with the Cyclones. I think they win the game outright. So to recap, take the 28.5 with Liberty at Auburn. Take the 10.5 with Syracuse over Notre Dame. Take the under 53.5 Michigan-Indiana. Take the 2 with Cal. I think they beat Stanford, but I'm not sure they're going to play that game. And then take the 3 with Iowa State at Texas.
This segment with Joe Fortenbaugh is brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free.
And what do you like in the NFL, Joe?
Little shaky. My favorite game was actually last night with Seattle, based on a trend I've talked about the last few years on the podcast. But they ended up getting it done. Again, last night, a very important example of getting the best numbers. Seattle minus 2.5 was out there almost all week, right up until a day and a half before, and then it got to 3. So you've got to be able to do a little bit of shopping if you want to take your betting to the next level. As it pertains to Sunday's games, I'm going to take 1.5 with Tennessee at Indianapolis. Now, this might seem like recency bias because of what the Titans just did to the Patriots. That's part of it. But the Titans before the bye week are a very different football team than what they are after the bye. 2 games after the bye, Monday night in Dallas, and then a short week in Nashville against the Patriots. They outscored both teams by a combined 62-24. Marcus Mariota looks like a different quarterback. The defense is flying to the football. The Colts are a nice story this season. They really are. I don't think Frank Reich is getting enough credit for what he's done, considering this was supposed to be Josh McDaniel's job, and he left everyone high and dry at the last minute. The Colts, this is a nice little season, but I think the defense gets after Andrew Luck in this one. Tennessee wins it outright. Game number 2, I hate laying points on the road in the NFL, but I'm going to do it with Houston at Washington laying the field goal. The Redskins are a total fraud. They win this game last week against Tampa, who rolls up 3 points on 500 total yards of offense. That's an absolute embarrassment. You look at the Redskins this year, the teams they've beat, their 6 wins, the combined record of those teams, 21-33-1. The Redskins are 4-11 against the number over their last 15 when they come off a win, so they sure as hell can't string them together. Houston's off the bye. They've won 6 straight. They're playing very good football on both sides. The Redskins are 18th in yards per play, 26th in yards per play allowed. The NFC East is super weak this year. If these guys are in the playoffs, I don't even want to watch that game. I'll bet against them, but I'm not going to watch it. Lay the 3 with Houston over the Redskins. Next one's going to be a bit of a trendy one. I'm going to lay the 7 with the Chargers over the Broncos. The Broncos are one of the worst coached teams in the NFL. And people are going to say, well, yeah, but they're coming off the bye. Do you remember how they went into the bye? We had Houston in that game. And Vance Joseph mismanaged the end of the first half and the end of the game. The Broncos have got to be fed up with this guy. They're 5-15-1 against the spread in their last 21. The Chargers have been cooking. They're on a 6-game winning streak. 4 of their last 5 wins have come by 8 or more points. If they don't shoot themselves in the foot on special teams, they jump all over the opposition. I think they're going to hammer Denver in this game. And then Monday night, I'll tell you this, the Sharps are playing the Chiefs. They are taking the 3.5 with Kansas City at L.A. I'm going to play the over. I know everybody in the public's going to play the over. It's going to have the highest closing total of all time. It's sitting about 63. So what? Public doesn't lose them all. These two teams are tied for first in yards per play. They're tied for 24th in yards per play allowed. They've gone over 30 or more points in 8 of 10 games. They match each other so well. That Rams defense is not going to stop Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs defense isn't going to stop anything. These two are going to be scoring left and right. If I get this one wrong, so be it. But Monday is going to be a classic scenario where the sharper guys are probably going to play the under. The public's going to play the over. I'm going to play the over in this one. It's one of those games where I'm so excited to watch it. I'll be damned if I'm going to bet against scoring when it's Patrick Mahomes versus Sean McVay. So your recap's there. I know the sharps like the Chiefs. I'm going to play the over Monday night. Lay the 7 with the Chargers. Lay the 3 with the Texans. Take the 1.5 with Tennessee. Those who like teasers, tease the Chargers with the Saints. That should be as good as gold.
Joe, you are the greatest, my friend.
Thanks, Joe.
That's beautiful
stuff.
Love
you, boys. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you in a few days.
All right, pal. That's our guy, Joe Fortenbaum. We will be talking to Joe before the holiday.
Before the next Bears game.
Bears are turning around quickly. But you know what, David? We're not talking about that now. We don't care about that now.
Nope.
That's the
85-hour clock has not begun to count down yet.
That's right. That's what Matt Nagy told us. We'll bring in Jeff Joniak next. We'll talk to the voice of the Bears on Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.